each one this morning. And I certainly desire continued interest in your prayers. As we come before you this morning, I want to turn real quick to begin with this morning to Acts chapter 8. And what I would set before you in the beginning of the discourse this morning, the Lord would be pleased to bless us and help us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the gospel. We've tried to preach on the light of the gospel, the light of the glorious gospel from last Sunday, the addition of that word, the glorious gospel. And then we as God's people, as God's born-again people, then as we are blessed and we come providentially under the sound of the gospel and under the teaching of the gospel, then we should believe on the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. Now, I can't teach you to know the light, but I can teach you from the scriptures about the light. And I believe that's the rightly dividing of the Word of God. So this morning as we start, we're going to talk about some things concerning belief and believing the light, that we would then be the children of light, to be the manifested, shown forth children of light. And we spoke of that some 5 or 6 Sundays ago. But we didn't emphasize about concerning of belief. But here is the narrative of Philip, who after going down and preaching, and then was called up by the Spirit, and in verse 29 of Acts chapter 8, it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And of course we find that the Ethiopian eunuch who had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was going down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert, and he arose and behold a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So Philip is not meeting up with an unregenerate. Philip is not meeting up with someone that hadn't already been taught in their heart to know the Lord and to love the Lord, because he first loved them. These words that I just read to you give evidence and teach us that this Ethiopian eunuch who had an interest in worshiping the true and living God, who is a proselyte to the Jewish faith, no doubt. He is a born-again child of God, but Philip's encounter with him is to preach to him and to teach him about Jesus. Not to know Jesus, but about Jesus. Yeah. And so as the scripture goes on here in verse 30, that Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And of course he answered, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so Philip did, and he went up and sat with him in the chariot and rode along. And the Bible tells us that Philip began to preach to him from that point there. He preached unto him Jesus. In verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This is what Philip preached to him. He preached to him Jesus. Amen. Concerning Jesus and what Jesus had done. And no doubt told him that Isaiah wasn't talking about himself. He wasn't speaking of himself, that yes, indeed, he was speaking of someone else, and how that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, fulfilled that very prophecy that this Ethiopian eunuch had been reading about. I don't know, the scripture don't record all that Philip preached to him, but he preached to him enough that the scripture says, after it says that he preached unto him Jesus, then in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So evidently, it goes without doubting that Philip, we don't know how long he was with him, must have been for a while. He must have covered a good bit of territory, of subject matter, if you please, because this eunuch responded when they came to water, and he asked the question that here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Another reason that I believe that Philip had preached unto him Jesus and the light that lighteth and concerning the Christ that should come, the very answer when he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" That's the question. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Yeah. And what did he answer? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So that's why I say that evidently Philip must have preached a broad, wide spectrum of subject matter, inclusive of baptism and discipleship. And that the believers in Jesus Christ should be baptized at the command of Christ. And this was the response of this eunuch. "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And when Philip said to him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." In other words, you would be a fit subject for water baptism in this respect. For as a belief, if you believe the things that I preach to you with all your heart. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So when the scripture says that he preached unto him Jesus, those are just a few words, that he preached unto him Jesus. But oh, what a subject matter, and what territory he must have covered in preaching of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to turn back and for this very expression there in John chapter 12 concerning what Jesus spoke concerning himself and the light. In John chapter 12 and verse 35, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light," I believe Jesus is referencing himself here. "While ye have light," while you have this shining, while you have this teaching, while I am teaching to you, while I am right here before you, he says, "Believe in the light." Notice that. "Believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." I want you to remember the words that Jesus said in John chapter 14. This is the beginning of the discourse that Jesus, I believe, preached just prior, if not particularly, probably the night before his capture, if you please, or that they took him, came and took him, that Jesus spoke to them and preached to them. And those words in John 14, 15, 16, 17. But there in John chapter 14, he said, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." This is what Jesus said concerning belief to his disciples. His disciples that had been with him for some 3.5 years. Jesus, the light that had been with them and had talked to them, had preached to them, had opened their eyes, had opened their understanding while he was here and had taught them, explained parables unto them. Jesus says, "Ye believe in God." Now, this is not a question. This is a statement. This is a declarative statement. He didn't say, "If you believe in God." He said, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Believe in me. And this is what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 12. While ye have light, believe in the light. Oh, brethren, as we come under the sound of the gospel, as we come under the witness of the Spirit and the illumination of God's Spirit in our hearts and in our minds, you see, we are taught Jesus Christ in our heart in regeneration. We are taught to know the Lord in regeneration. But then those that are taught to know the Lord, then when they can come under the sound of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, this gospel that brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. He's brought it to light concerning the mortality the immortality and the life that he gives. He's brought it to light through his word, through his teaching, as 2 Timothy chapter 1 tells us concerning that, that we believe it, that we embrace the gospel, that we embrace the light. Oh, we live in a dark world, and it's so easy even for us as disciples of Christ to see all of the darkness round about us, all of the wickedness all around us, and kindly get used to it. Oh, God, help us and save us from ever getting used to the dark. Oh, that we would still blush, that we would still turn our head, and that we would still stand in awe concerning being dissatisfied and the disgrace of the wickedness of the darkness round about us, that we would not get used to it. Oh, but we would rather joy and rejoice in walking in the light and believe in the light. Embrace the light. Hold to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to do this, believe in the light. And here's the reason for it, that you may be the children of light. He didn't say that you would be the children of God. He didn't say that you believe to make yourself children of God. He said that this belief in the light, that you may be the children of light, that you would be manifested and shown forth to be the children of God, because you're manifested and shown forth to be children of light. Only children of God can be children of light. And not all children of God are children of light in this context. Now, I qualified that statement. I said in this context. Now, there is a light within every born-again child of God, and that light is Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that every single child of God has the light of and the glorious gospel and illumination and understanding such as we have and have been blessed with. What a great blessing that it is of a light of understanding that we have as it is in Christ Jesus. Amen. This light of the glorious gospel. Amen. This light from Christ that he has given, that he is the power source of the light, that he is the light himself. And he tells us, while ye have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Now, I want you to notice in John chapter 8, Jesus says, starting in verse 12, and we haven't looked at this scripture, but we'll notice it a few moments this morning. In John 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yeah. Now, brothers and sisters, there is a power-packed statement. Yeah. That Jesus says, that Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Yeah. Now, you can go back in case we don't have time to get to it this morning, but in Isaiah chapter 42, of the prophecy that Isaiah gives, amen, concerning the elect servant of God, talking about Jesus Christ and the light that he would be to the Gentiles. I believe here in the context when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he is saying, I am the light of my people, of Jews and Gentiles. Amen. Of Jews and Gentiles. If you would go back and look at and study on this subject matter of some of the Jewish rabbis, of their teaching and of their language, you would find that they called the other people, in other words, those that were not of the nation of Israel, they called all the others who are Gentiles, they referred to them as the world. That's what Jewish rabbis taught, that they referred to them, all other people, Gentiles, as the world. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. You know, aren't we thankful for that today, that he is the light, not just of Jews, but of the 12 tribes of Israel. But he is the light that shineth in the glorious gospel, came there in the first century unto Gentiles. Oh, how thankful that we should be this morning, for we are Gentiles. We are, of their consideration, the Jews' consideration, we are the world. You know, just to refresh your memory, in a verse of Scripture that's Romans chapter 9 and verse 6, where it says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. I tell you, brothers and sisters, this glorious gospel of the Son of God, it does take effect. And it teaches us here that the only individuals that it can take effect with, amen, are born again children of God, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. For in this context, as he says, not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Amen. He's talking about that there were wicked. There were those that were not chosen in the everlasting covenant of grace among the 12 tribes of national Israel. And they are the ones that the gospel, they are the ones under the old economy, under the Old Testament, that you see prop up their heads so much. Now we know, and you've heard me say before, that sheep can act like goats. We know that God's children, through that Adamic nature, through that old man, can act out and can commit all types of sins and even be guilty of the sin of unbelief and so forth and on. We understand that. But we understand from this text that just because they were members of the 12 tribes of Israel, it didn't make them of the elect of God from the everlasting covenant of grace, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. In other words, they're not a part. They may be a part of natural Israel, but they're not a part of spiritual Israel. Aren't we thankful this morning that even Gentiles can be a part of spiritual Israel? If folks don't understand, it's kind of like understanding temporal and eternal salvation. If folks don't understand that there is more than one aspect of understanding of the word Israel in the Bible, then scriptures can be mighty hard to understand from that perspective if you don't have that foundation. Because many places, when he's speaking of Israel, he's speaking of spiritual Israel. When he says, "For they are not all Israel," that's spiritual Israel, "which are of Israel," that's national Israel, that's natural Israel. So, but the point is, not as though the word of God have taken none effect. That verse is clear cut to teach us that the only ones that the word of God can take effect with, the only ones that can believe on the name of Jesus Christ, that can believe in the light, amen, are those that are members of spiritual Israel. Amen. Only those that are members of spiritual Israel. So Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Now, it's been several weeks ago that we read those verses in John chapter 1. You know, there's a lot said in the Gospel of John concerning the light. There's a lot said in the whole Bible about the light. Amen. More than I ever realized. Amen. Over these last several months concerning the light and also about darkness. And as we have tried to look at it from many different perspectives and different subjects under the big umbrella of it. But in John chapter 1, starting with verse 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now this is why I turn back here to this language in John chapter 1. John was sent from God to preach. He fulfilled the scripture as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. But he says the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. He bore witness of Jesus Christ that all men through him might believe. Somebody say, "Preacher, that contradicts what you've just been preaching for the last few minutes." Here it says that all men through him might believe. I tell you that it's not talking about all men without exception. The ones that are not of spiritual Israel, the gospel has no effect. We just read that. It'll have no effect. It'll have no change in effect. The wicked, wicked, they don't have a change like we're talking about this morning. Only God's people have that change. That change to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. To be born of his spirit. But when he says, talking about came to be a witness, to bear witness of the life that all men through him might believe. Amen. What is the writer being blessed of the Spirit to present to us? What truth is being set forth to us? That this light. Jesus is coming was not just for the Jews. Him preaching his everlasting covenant, him preaching his everlasting gospel was not just for the nation of Israel, but it was to give light unto the Gentiles. Amen. And so therefore, this that lighteth to bear witness of that light, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, whether he be Jew or Gentile, so that all men through him might believe. As I said earlier, every single one of God's elect in regeneration are going to be taught to know the Lord. They're going to be taught in their heart to know the Lord. But the glorious gospel, the glorious light that brings it to light, teaches us about Jesus Christ and what it is to follow him. To follow him. And that brings us then to the next part of that verse 12 that is there in John chapter 8. When he says, I'm the light of the world, Jews and Gentiles. Then he goes on there in John 8 and 12, and he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you follow the light, if you follow Jesus Christ, if you follow his teachings, you're not going to walk in darkness. You'll be walking in light. You'll be walking in the light. You'll be having fellowship with him. And we'll be walking in the light as he is in the light and having fellowship one with another. All that desire to walk in the light. Oh, that we have fellowship one with another. Those that desire to walk in darkness don't have fellowship with them. Can I say it any plainer? Don't have fellowship with them. Come out from among the world and be ye separate. Amen. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a God to you, and you'll be a people unto me. This is what the Word of God says. We can, and we can't afford to. We can't run the risk for our sake, for your children's sake, for your grandchildren's sake, to rub shoulders with the darkness of the world. What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? And then we went through those scriptures. We went through those verses of the different contrast that has no fellowship one with another. I tell you, the wicked, they have no desire. They've invented unto themselves inventions and lies and deceptions. And as the scripture says, they've made a deal. They supposedly have made a deal with death and with hell, with the grave. Amen. Whereby under their deceptive minds they're going to escape it. Amen. But I tell you how the scripture teaches us that they will not. And maybe we'll turn there in Isaiah where it speaks of that if we have time. But nevertheless, the point is, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Just like the gospel brings this life to light, this is saying the same thing, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Jesus is the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In this life of Christ that he gives unto his people, and his people that follow him and walk in light. Amen. That we would and can enjoy the abundant life that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is certainly a teaching here of discipleship, of following after the Lord, walking after him. It says that he that followeth me. You know, Jesus said for us to deny ourselves, take up the cross and do what? Follow him. Follow him. That is the command of our Lord. If any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and take up his cross. and follow me. You don't take up the Lord's cross. You can't bear His cross. Only He could bear His. But there is a cross of self-denial. Amen. There's a cross of sacrifice for each one of the disciples of Christ that will follow Him. Oh, not to be ashamed of the light, but to come to the light. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us continually come to the light. Amen. The light, Jesus Christ. Let us look to the light. Let us have the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Oh, so much darkness of this world and the disciples of this world. Oh, this world system, this darkness that Satan is the little G of. But thank God, as we've preached, that our God there in Isaiah 10 and 17, that He is the God of gods and Lord of lords, that He is all powerful and has all power, and that He is the chief magistrate. You know, there's courts and there are magistrates and judges that see it that their mindset is not after justice. Their mindset is darkened and it's not after the things of God. Oh, but I tell you, there is a just and holy magistrate. There's a holy and just a judge, amen, our God that sits upon His throne, that dispenses justice and judgment, that gives forth in His word and teaches us in following Him and tells us, I'm the light of the world. You know, it's the same pattern there even in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night and so forth. And all of these verses that lead up and come on down. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read those. But the one of the most misunderstood, there are many misunderstood verses in the Bible of God's people because man has helped them to misunderstand. Man has helped them to misunderstand. But John 3:16, oh, it's plastered everywhere out here in the world. Yeah. Everybody tries to hang a shingle on it to teach their perspective of what it is. But when it says, for God so loved the world. Yeah. Amen. Jews and Gentiles. It's simple, brothers and sisters. It's just simple. Amen. That God has a people out of Jews. Amen. That are out of national Israel, but they're of spiritual Israel. And He has a people of the Gentiles. Amen. That are of spiritual Israel. For God so loved the world. This is the world that God loves. His people out of Jews and Gentiles.
Amen.
You know, in John chapter 17, Jesus said that there's a world that He wouldn't pray for. He wouldn't pray for them. Oh, I tell you, if He wouldn't pray for them, then brothers and sisters, then we've got to understand it from this perspective, that if our Lord wouldn't pray for them, then that world that was under consideration there, that He wouldn't pray for, because remember the Lord told Peter, He said, Satan desires to sift thee as wheat, but nevertheless I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He wasn't praying for Peter's eternal salvation, but He was praying for his temporal deliverance right here in time. And I tell you, just as surely as the Lord prayed for Peter, He's prayed for all of His disciples. And oh, he teaches that in John chapter 17 and says, not for those of disciples that He was speaking to right there in John 17, but for all that would believe on Him through their word. Amen. Those that would believe the gospel through the preaching. He's prayed for them. He's not prayed for the world of the wicked, whether they be of national Israel or whether they be of Gentile. But He's prayed for spiritual Israel, and He loves spiritual Israel, the very apple of His eye, the very elect that He's chosen and treasured in Him that God the Father gave to save, and Jesus did save them. Thank God forevermore. He did save them from their sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who did God give His Son for? He gave His Son, amen, for His people. He gave His Son for His sheep. How do we understand that? Because Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Jesus told us right there who He's going to die for. He died for His sheep. And I tell you, He loved everyone that He died for. No greater love hath any man than this, that He laid down His life for His friend. I want to tell you, the Lord loved that He laid down His life. He gave His life for the sheep. He gave His life for the world of His people. I believe that's the plain doctrine. The very rightly dividing the teaching of the Scripture. God chose those that He loved, that He foreknew, an intimate, compassionate, merciful love that He had, amen, for the very ones out of the Adamic race that He saw before, even before the foundation of the world, that He looked down and He saw. And it seemed, you know, we have folks to say that the Lord looked down, and when He did, He saw who would be good, who would accept Him. He saw who would have good deeds. No, what does the Bible teach in Psalm 14? And in, what is it, Psalm 53, I think. But nevertheless, it says that when the Lord looked down upon the children of men, what did He see? He saw that there wasn't one good. Amen. No, not one. That's what the Lord saw when He looked down. He didn't look down and see anybody doing anything good. Amen. In His eyes and in His sight. But He saw them all estranged. He saw them all out of the way. He saw them all on the left in Adam. He saw them all corrupt and polluted and defiled and dead in trespassing sin. So it wasn't anything in anyone that God was attracted to. But I tell you, it was everything in everyone that God would be repelled from. You understand that? Amen. That would be a stink in the nostrils of God. But it was God's merciful, on purpose, love, redeeming love. For God so loved, that's how much, so loved, amen, the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's an expression of assurance that if you're in a state of belief, that if you believe on the name of the Son of God, now it's not teaching that everyone will know the name of God, but it is an assurance verse to those that do, that it is an assurance unto them. It is evidence unto them that believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God. So we see it, and I went through all of that, and so forth. And verse 17 goes on, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world of His people. Why? They're already condemned. He didn't have to come to condemn them. Oh, but why? But that the world through Him, the world of His people, Jews and Gentiles,
yes,
out of spiritual Israel.
Amen.
Oh, so I want to, we'll just, first of all, turn over with me to Isaiah chapter 28. Here the Lord is pronouncing woes and judgment upon different ones. Ones that have lifted themselves up. Ones that are trusting in self and in self ways. And in verse 2, he says, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one. I believe in particular here that the Lord is talking about the king of Assyria. And talking about the destruction that's going to come upon Judah. It says, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Talking about that army going to come through, and because they have forsaken the ways of the Lord and so forth. In verse 9 it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Notice this now. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You know, there comes a time that with a babe, they have to be weaned from the milk. They have to be drawn away from the breast. And this is where he gets into precept and precept upon precept and line upon line. And with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people and so forth. But you come on over, and in verse 14 he says, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, it shall not come upon us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. But notice, then, this is a verse that most of the time we know and understand from this. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Hear prophetic of Jesus Christ and coming into the created world, coming here to preach first and foremost, as you've heard me say many a times, to the Jewish people. But in Isaiah chapter 42, the prophet Isaiah speaks of Christ, and here he's called mine elect. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. This is God speaking of his son, Jesus Christ. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall bring forth justice and understanding and enlightenment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He won't make of himself no reputation, as we talked about last Sunday. But he will preach the truth among the people. And of his apostles, and they preached and bore witness of the light, as John the Baptist bore witness. Notice verse 4. This further helps us to understand and know that there's no doubt about this, that he is speaking of Jesus Christ. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. And we know that our Lord did not fail and was not discouraged in anything that he did till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Notice this, the isles, the islands shall wait for his law. There's plenty of proof and evidence that even in the first century that the gospel of Christ went to the isles of England and Wales, particularly Wales, Scotland and Ireland. And from the middle there, those that heard the preaching of the Apostle Paul and went to Wales. That is an island. And I believe that would be right straight in line with fulfillment. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. A light of the Gentiles. I believe that this prophetic text concerning Jesus Christ and Him a light to the Gentiles and setting His judgment, His justice, amen, His law here in the earth, amen, the New Testament church, if you please, and setting her in order and giving her forth and giving the light of the gospel and blessing men with gifts to preach the glorious gospel of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And what is it for? To open the blind eyes. This is not talking about in a physical sense here as it is in other places that prophesied that He would open blinded eyes and heal the sick and so forth, and that the gospel would be preached unto them. But here it's in the context of light. And it's to do what? To open blind eyes. And who in particular? The blinded eyes, the Gentiles, that in great part have been blinded under the Old Testament, have been blinded. They didn't have the law. They didn't have the prophets. National Israel, as a people, they had the law, they had the prophets, but of course only ones that would obey it and adhere to it. And of course there were so many of God's people in that and set forth that even many of the, it constrained even many of the wicked that were among national Israel. I tell you, there's power in the gospel of Christ. There's power in the teachings of Christ. There's great, it is the power of God unto salvation. The things of God, the teaching of the law and the prophets, even to God's people in the Old Testament, was a great blessing to them and a great blessing to all that were round about them. The blessings of God, of God's people, and adhering to the things of God, it is a great blessing to a nation. It's a great blessing to a people that many would reap benefit of God's people walking in harmony and following after the light as it is in Christ. But it's to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Oh, it's the allegory that shows forth the darkness of especially of that time, of a prison house and sitting in prison, a prison of ignorance. Oh, but when the light would come and when this light of knowledge would come to the Gentiles, what a great blessing that it would be to them. Then verse 8, he said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Verse 9, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This would be a new thing, amen, here in the earth, when Christ would come and preach and deliver unto the apostles. Amen. And then even the apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, and preached this gospel, and many believed upon him. Even there in verse 12, going back to the islands, it said, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. It was indeed a new thing when the glorious light of the gospel came unto the isles, and particularly in Wales, where they had been in under that falseness of and of illusion of darkness and of paganism. And when the light of the gospel began to be preached, remember the Lord told Paul there in one place to remain in that city. I think he'd been there quite a while, but told him to stay. He said, for I have much people. I have much people. And what is that telling us? That there was a ministry to be done. The Lord had a people there. There were people to preach to. And the gospel would have effect. The gospel would have effect. You know, the preaching of the God's gospel and the work of God, the work of His Spirit, First comes that work, and then the preaching of the gospel and that illumination of his spirit. It will affect. It's not like a rabbit running through a hollow log and has no effect upon the log. I tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, the Spirit of God will have an effect on a man. And the gospel, it will have an effect either one way or the other. Either unto obedience or disobedience, depending upon the hearer. That they would obey the truth as it is in Christ and be a follower of the light and walk in the light. Those that follow him, they won't walk in darkness, but they'll be a bit blessed people, be a blessed individual. That's, we'll come to a close with this, but the one, Psalm number one, they're starting. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible will talk to us about walking. Remember, Jesus said if you follow him, that you will walk in darkness, you will walk in the light. Oh, that if you're following him and walking in the light, you'll not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. God's going back to that point again. God's people don't need the fellowship of the ungodly. Amen. God's people don't need the fellowship of the ungodly. Amen. Don't need the influence of the ungodly. Don't need the counsel, the wisdom of it, the teaching of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's a blessed man that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. You see, that is right opposite to that which is blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, that man is blessed that will walk in the light of the Lord instead of sitting and being influenced by the ungodly and letting the ways of the scornful rub off on him. Yeah. We need to be careful of that. Amen. Amen. We don't need to let the ways of the scornful of this world. You know, that word scornful, you really start looking at it. It means to show contempt. It means insulting, mocking, defiant, shaking the hand at, haughty, proud, lifted up in self. I could go on with adjectives and so forth. Bringing about this haughty and defiant attitude. God's people, we don't need to let that from the old man to creep out and to work out in that work of the flesh to be manifest. If God help us and help us to walk in the light and to walk in the counsel of God, walk in the counsel of light, that we would have the light of life. Amen, that we'd enjoy that abundant life in Christ. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What is it, Romans 7:22? He said that he delighteth in the law of God after the inward man. Well, that's where we delight in God's law. That's where we delight in the things of God. Is that the inward man, not in that old man, not in that old flesh nature. Oh, that is so, going to go to another place, but I said we would stop there. So we'll just go ahead and do that. I pray that these things this morning would be a blessing and help to you, an instruction from God's word. We'll select a song as we stand together.
Amen, brother.